And now, a man who campaigned against Barack Obama in all 57 states, Mark Gillar.
Good morning and welcome to the Tea Party Power Hour. This is Mark Gillar, your host. We have a very special guest today, Mr. Doug Vogt. Anyone who's been following the eligibility issues certainly has heard his name many times before. He is an expert who has gone over the Certificate of Live Birth with a fine-tooth comb, and he's going to share some of his insight with us today. Doug, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. I don't know why we've waited so long to have you here. It's long past due, but we finally got you, so we want to take advantage of it. Now, tell us a little bit about when you first became interested in the eligibility issue. What was it that grabbed your attention and got you interested in this?
It's real simple. I have a friend, Barbara, in New York, who's a videographer. And the day of the news conference on the 27th of April 2011, she called me up and said, hey, graphic artists are finding layers in the PDF they put up on the White House website. It was put up sometime after 12 or 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So I looked at it, and my experience, so people understand, is I owned a typesetting company for about 11 years, I think, and then I got into graphics, and I own a company that sells document imaging scanners and of all types. So I know how the scanners work, and I know how Adobe works, because many of them actually come with the scanners, and what you could have and what you don't have. and that's basically what my experience. So it's Paul's Irie, who you interviewed a couple of weeks ago, he owned a typesetting company, a very big one in New York City and New Jersey. He was a typographer for 50 years. So between the two of us, we have a total of, I think, 82 years collective experience in the graphics and the scanner business and typesetting business. So we were quite unique. And what I want to go over was, one, defining what the crime was.
Doug, one quick question.
Yeah.
I find it interesting that you got involved right at the time that I did. It wasn't until the actual long form, if you will, the PDF purported to be the long form, was released that I became really interested in this, because before that it was all speculation. Does he have one? Does he not have one? But then when you take a look at the PDF and all the problems that go along with it, it was hard not to become curious about this. So I have to ask, prior to the PDF being released, Doug, what was your opinion about the entire birther movement, as it's called?
There was questions regarding the short form.
Correct.
And I think I'd like to explain something right now, which is really important.
Okay.
I've written other books also, science books and philosophy of science books. If you're going to figure out a great secret, you have to find the starting point that some action, either natural or done by a group of people, caused another group of people to react to it. Once you find that point in time, then you're able to actually unravel the mystery, because you know then what the parties are doing. In this case, the short form of Obama's was released under very unusual circumstances. He couldn't run for office in Hawaii because the head of the Democratic Party there refused to certify him. Pelosi, the national chairman, had to wind up doing it. But they made a mistake when they created the short form, and this is really critical. They picked the wrong date of acceptance by the registrar. They chose August 8th rather than August 11th or 12th. And the reason I say this, there were articles saying, well, I'll add this. That was released about June 12th, 2008.
Okay.
About 2 weeks later, somebody in the Department of Health must have realized the mistake, and somebody magically appear a short form birth certificate of a deceased woman who was born in 1930, and her birth certificate was 199 days off. In other words, they altered the database and produce this short form and put it up. I spoke to the daughter of the deceased woman. I won't mention her name. And I've been corresponding with her, and she's the one who put it up originally on her genealogy page. And magically, it was used to really, first on the surface, to show that there was, you could see the Department of Health seal on it, because you couldn't see it on Obama's at first. And but really, the reason they released is because it was to throw researchers off on the certificate number. Now, this is the key part. After that, they produced over three other forgeries with defective numbers. Now, I'm not going to say exactly how many certificates I know of, because I don't want them to know how many I do know of. But they created or altered existing birth certificates and changed numbers on them. Now, this is why it's key. There were some articles that were published in some of the birther magazines, news groups, that said that the certificate numbers were alphabetized every month in the Department of Health. it's a total lie. One, there are federal regulations, as well as I went to the task of reading the state laws and state administrative code for all 50 states and the District of Columbia. And it will be in the book as one of the appendices. I may now know more about the birth certificate laws than maybe anybody else, but there is no question that of the 50 states plus one, 14 mention the federal statutes specifically, that their laws correspond with theirs. The federals, one of the requirements of the security features of the birth certificate is a sequential number, and they define what the sequential number is in 16 of the states, and it's very simple. They define what filing is, what file and registration is, and the process is this. They mail either a county or the hospital, depending on the state, whether they have one registration location or multiples, will mail it to the state, eventually it gets to the state registrar. State registrar checks everything off on the birth certificate, that everybody signed it in black ink, and then he signs it, dates it, and numbers it. And that is the process of acceptance and filing. And there is no other definition. And 16 of the states repeat that process exactly. All other things, so in other words, if you knew the average number of births in a state, if you knew the date of registrar, the date that the registrar accepted it, you could get within a few days of what the number should be. And if you knew the certificate number but not the date of acceptance, you can get within a few days of when the registrar would have accepted it. We had actually bought 15-plus legitimate birth certificates from people in Hawaii, ranging from 1958 all the way to the 60s and some of the 70s. But we have a lot in 60, 61, and 62. And I'm within 0 days, and I was right dead on, to 4 or 5 days. One day was 9 days off, but that was Christmas time. The doctor signed it on the 29th, and the registrar stamped it on the 30th. So that's how good I got with this stuff. So all these stories about they took it in at the Hawaii. By the way, Honolulu is the county and also the island, and the county is also the city, but it's the entire island of Oahu.
Mm-hmm.
So there's only the state registrar is the local registrar, and that's why both date stamps for the local and the state one are exactly the same because of the same office. So if that was true, then how come we have people, some of the people, last name starts with an A or a B or a C, and they are towards the end of the month or middle of the month? If they had alphabetized, imagine that 1,450 or so birth certificates per month in Hawaii in 61. That would have about 49 or 48 point something births per day in Hawaii. You imagine a bunch of bureaucrats sitting there and alphabetizing this stuff?
Well, for me, it's really easy. For me, it's really easy. I look at Gretchen and Susan Nordyke. Susan Nordyke was born first, and she has the lower number. If they had alphabetized them, Gretchen would have the lower number. And I've yet to have anyone explain that away. So,
well, it would be by the last name anyway. That's how this stuff is viewed. But it's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. Once you know what the law is, it's irrelevant. I mean, of the 51 states and District of Columbia, 49 of them had it in their law that defining what file and registration is, and it's all the same. It's all the same nationwide. That basically, it's a. Anyway.
Do you need to catch that?
No. Just disconnect it. That's all.
Okay.
It's all the same thing. It's a federal statute. And it's a state statute in almost all the states. There's only two states I didn't see it mentioned specifically, and that was Connecticut and one other. But it's all pointless. It's all the OBOTs are basically paid liars by the administration to cover it up. It gave it up when they had the news conference in April of 2011. They basically said. Within a couple of weeks, I had a news conference that they hired somebody to handle the internet and all the the traffic and the correspondence and answer and get the administration's word out. Those are the OBOTs. They're paid. What happens with these guys is their egos are boundless, and they only believe and listen to their own propaganda, and they don't think things out. What I wanted to explain when I go now, I'm going to go through the list.
Okay.
I have about 25 items, but I want to explain, define two things that are really important. Well, I've explained this to some of the OBOTs, which scared them a lot, and some of them actually have semi-disappeared, or they basically leave me alone not to enrage me too badly. But this is it. I want you to define what the law is and with the crime that really has been committed here, because they didn't know it either. They were just really stupid. In the federal statute, it's called Title 18, Crimes and Criminal Procedures. That's where it is. They define what principles are. It's in section Chapter 1, Section 2, and this is it. Two small sentences. Whoever commits an offense against the United States or aids, abets, counsels, commands, induces, or procures its commission is punishable as a principal. Part 2. Whoever willingly causes an act to be done, which is directly performed by him or another, would be an offense against the United States as punishable as a principal. Keep that in mind. So everybody from the forger to the people who paid him or her, the people who presented it to the public at the news conference, the guy who is benefited by it, namely the guy in the head, the top, and all those others at the Department of Health who are involved would be principals. Next, accessories after the fact, statute. This is Section 3, Federal Code. Whoever knowing that an offense against the United States has been committed receives, relieves, comforts, or assists the offender in order to hinder or prevent its apprehension, trial, or punishment is an accessory after the fact. They get either half the offense of the principal, and if it's life in prison or the death sentence, they get 15 years in prison. Now, the other one, which is really a humdinger, is called misprision of treason. And that sums it all up. That's what made them all very scared. They didn't realize the crime they really did. And it's under Chapter 228 and Title 18. Section 3592. I've almost memorized this thing.
Sounds like it.
Mitigating, aggravating factors to be considered in determining whether a sentence of death is justified. In the hit parade in Section A, Section B, aggravating factors of espionage and treason. And it goes in, and this is the part. There's three things that get you the death sentence. For sure. Number two on that hit parade is grave risk to national security. In the commission of the offense, the defendant knowingly created a grave risk, a substantial danger to the national security. Now, I'll translate it for those who have an IQ below 80. The President of the United States appoints generals, Secretary of State, Secretary of Treasury, Secretary of Defense, the head of the CIA, head of the FBI. There is no worse risk to national security than having a foreign agent becoming President of the United States. I want the stupid and the idiots to understand what crime they've done. Part three on that hit parade of three, grave risk of death. In the commission of the offense, the defendant knowingly created a grave risk of death to another person. I know of at least 12 people that were most likely killed by these people to make sure Obama's queer past was hidden, or putting pressure on the Clintons who are running against him also, and others. There were more deaths going on in Kenya for the church that knew where he was born. The whole church was burned down. About 40 or 50 people died there.
I had not heard that one.
Yeah, I have it in the thing, in one of the appendix, how many people died on this thing. So the point being is this. What the crime here of forgery made it, what they did, a clear-cut case of high treason. Without the forgery, it could have been argued that, oh, gee, he won the election openly. If anybody investigated, they knew he was a Marxist and socialist. Hell, his mentor was Frank Marshall Davis, if not
right.
His real father. So there's no secret. But the minute they forged the document, they committed high treason. That's the beauty of it. Interesting?
I think so. That's why I had you on the show.
I bet you nobody has really defined this crime like this.
No, you did a great job on that, and I think a lot of people have just sort of considered this some sort of a game, which
they
it's
did
not.
Too. The Obots did too. They thought it was some kind of a game. This is the 25 items that I came up with last night.
Yeah, let's get to those. Go ahead.
Right. The certificate numbers out of sequence by 144 to 199 numbers off from the Nordi twins.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there's about 46 or 47 births per day in Hawaii. Then you just add it up, and that's what you come out with. I actually got it down to the Department of Health in the United States. The U.S. Department of Health actually publishes birth certificates on a monthly basis, so you can actually figure out to that month of how many births, on average births per month or per day there was in that year up to that month, which I did for all of them. It doesn't vary very much, by the way, not even a whole point. Anyway, number two, news conference of April 27, 2000, no evidence of a state seal on the reporter's copy or the PDF. Also a point of forgery is the plausible deniability during the news conference. Now, the whole news conference I have on the webpage, if you go to vectorpub.com,
mm-hmm.
On the bottom of that first page, and I'll try to put a link on the side or on the top, you'll see the link on the birth certificate stuff. Go there, and on the bottom of that next page, you'll see the entire news conference. And I'll highlight it in red, the important statements made there. But plausible deniability is this. It's when a group of criminals do things to cover up the head, the leadership. They try to blame lower levels of management for doing this. And the key word, when you'll see there, during the news conference, there was a pre-news conference with the newsmen, and they presented a long form. But when one of the newsmen asked, is President Obama going to get a copy of this thing? Here they spent like $8,000 or $10,000 to get it, which is pointless. He winds up saying, no, I'm not going to leave it here. That was Pfeiffer. No, he's not going to see it. We're not going to leave it here for him to see. Now, that's real strange. You get a birth certificate you paid $8,000 or $10,000 for. You've hired a lawyer to fly from Seattle to Hawaii, Hawaii to Washington, D.C., and you're not going to get one copy? It makes no sense. So he winds up...
If I can add one thing, Doug, you mentioned the thing about the raised seal. Did
I'm going to go into that.
I know, but did Savannah Guthrie get her talking point down or what? If you watch her report to Brian Williams, I felt the raised seal, and just in case you weren't watching her report to Brian Williams, she tweeted that out. I felt the raised seal. I think that was what she was told. You've got to get out there and let people know you felt that raised seal, right. And she took her job seriously and did it through video and through Twitter. So go ahead.
Yeah, that gets to the whole point. Basically, on Savannah Guthrie, it's this. Like I said earlier, to figure out a motivation of people, why they do it, you have to go back to the origin, the source. During the crash, GE Capital, General Electric owns NBC and hence MSNBC. They wound up, GE Capital had a lot, billions. They had $340 billion of doubtful or underproducing mortgages that they bought that were part of. And they didn't go through the TARP thing. They were not a bank, and they were not qualified to wind up getting reimbursed or being bailed out. So what they did, the administration changed their rules and let them sell those $340 billion of bad mortgages to FICA. FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, and they paid $2.4 billion for that insurance policy. So they stuck that on FDIC, and we wound up paying for it. So GE owed a very big favor to Obama. So when Obama had to wind up coming up with a birth certificate, they wound up coming to the, it must have been one of the chief executives of GE. They in turn, in fact, wasn't the chairman of the board of GE on one of the president's commissions, economic commissions? My guess is, it's my theory and guess, it's logical though. He must have contacted the head of NBC, who in turn must have contacted the executive producer of the Today Show, and they made a deal and said, this is what we're going to do. So Savannah Guthrie was a legal advisor for MSNBC, and she did some small pieces. They promoted her. Now, I used to work for a company called A. Morgan Marie, who was a property management company for actors and actresses. And it would take like 2-3 weeks for between the agent, the business manager, the actor, to get together with a contract, a new contract with a studio or a TV station. That's just how long it takes. Everybody gets together, the lawyers. Anyway, they announced this thing they announced this thing that she was getting promoted 8 or 9 days after she did her master performance on the 27th. That means they knew at least 2 weeks before, the actor knew 2 weeks before the performance of the 27th, that this is what had to be done. Now, this is where they screwed up. They get two documents in from supposedly from the Department of Health, and they were color, green background, and mm-hmm. and the document. So they made a black and white copy and gave it to the newsman.
Yep.
And this is what they didn't think about. The newsmen there, you'll see it in the news conference. They noticed there was no seal. They couldn't see a seal on it. That's why later they mentioned Savannah Guthrie saw the thing and she felt the seal.
Ah.
The reason being is most of the copiers use a green light for the light source, so it drops out green color. But they didn't realize, or were too stupid to realize, an embossed seal is part of the paper. It's not part of the image. So when the image dropped out, so did all evidence that there was ever an embossed seal on the paper. Now, we did not use, for our analysis of type, did not use the PDF, which also only had a latent image. It was not what it should look like. It only had a latent image. But the newsman's copy had absolutely none whatsoever. And we used one from ABC. They had put it up, and it was 300 DPI. It was the best quality there was out there. And so we had really good quality for the type. We knew there was absolutely no seal. And And that's what it was. It was just, there wasn't any seal. There's no physical evidence that there was a seal on anything, on Savannah's, on the PDF. It was certainly not on the reporter's copy. Interesting, isn't it?
That's why I'm hooked.
Now, if I'm correct, then Savannah Guthrie has got to be one of the stupidest people on the planet, because she made herself a principal in a treason case, as well as all the executives of NBC going all the way up who knew about this. Am I wrong in the interpretation? I don't think so.
I would think anyone who said there was a seal when there was not a seal would be.
And they knew what the importance of it is.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not a legal document without the seal, and they know that. That was one of the big problems with the short form, too,
yeah,
as I recall. Now, yeah, I think you were on number two or three on the list. I want to make
that
sure
was two.
Get through that.
Okay. Okay, Paul and I typeset our own COLB, our Certificate of Live Birth.
Mm-hmm.
And since we're both typesetters, it was Cheltenham type, but hot metal. And it was Futura for the headings. And so we retyped the thing, same font, same type size, except we use the ITC version of the Cheltenham because the other one doesn't exist anymore. And I think that was one of the problems of the forger. They couldn't find a blank vintage 61 form. They were stuck with whatever they can get their hands on. So we did a test. Once we did the test, we scanned it. Now, the governor, in his news conference, openly says that the director, Fuddy, personally witnessed the copying of the original certificate. That means the one from the book, and that's why it has the curve on the left-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
And that means they put on the copy machine with the security paper in the machine, and they copied it out, and they were supposed to stamp it, the registrar stamp, the date stamp, and then the department seal on it.
Right.
That's what they're supposed to have done. They're bound by what they said and what they wrote. They can't get away from that. So we did the test, what an original would have looked like. I bought the security paper for $35 for a ream. Same security paper.
I've got a ream of it too, man.
Yeah, I have ultraviolet light. It's exactly we have their documents from there for Virginia Sonohara's. Her death certificates and her short form birth certificates and others, and it's the same ultraviolet threads in there. It's exactly the same paper.
Excellent.
No difference. And that actually violates the federal statutes, the law from 2004. It's supposed to be security paper and intaglio printing and a whole bunch of other things. They violate almost all of it. They don't care. They running a birth certificate mill, and it's easy to prove too.
Doug, if I can jump in real quick, this is a state where if two residents of the state, not citizens of America, residents of the state, have a baby abroad, they can still get a Hawaiian birth certificate for that baby. Yes, it is a birth certificate mill, and every terrorist in the world knows that.
Yeah, the commies did too. Anyway, what we learned from this is on Obama's birth certificate from the reporter's copy, there were holes in the typewriter type, notches and holes in the typewriter stuff. And the reason why, I knew it immediately, and I also showed it to two Service Bureau friends who I've actually been selling to. They've been in business for over 20, 25 years, and they even do microfilming. And this is what we went through. We did it. We gave it to them. They looked at it. They saw also a thresholding. What thresholding is, typewriter type with a ribbon is not all black. It's various shades of gray from 0 to 255. So in scanning, if you set the thresholding too low, what thresholding is let's say a box, a pixel, has a value of 25 or 30. And you want to get rid of some of the background noise or there's a shading, you raise the thresholding. But what that does is when you have a box that has 25 or 30 and it's in the type, it just disappears and you got a hole. So then that's maybe when you go from grayscale to binary. And that's what they did. And the forger screwed up. And she didn't realize you got a bunch of holes in the type. She couldn't replicate it. but it also told us this. Now, we went through the process of different ways. We know for sure that they didn't work from a microfilm copy, because we actually took ours and microfilmed it at various levels of exposure and even scanned it, both binary and grayscale, in various exposures. So we know what it should look like. It means it's back to the Department of Health. Somebody in the Department of Health took the original, had it scanned in, or had the scan directly from the docu imaging system that they had to have after they actually were doing it by 2000 and 2001. They wound up taking one of the images right from the Department of Health database and giving it to the forger. That's the only way they could have had that, and we get the quality we did. But we know what they did, and we know why the holes are in the type. That's not in the type of the form itself, only the typewriter type. Anyway, so we knew that was a point of forgery, that we know that the steps that went through and why the holes are in the typewriter type. It shouldn't be there. Okay, number four. The white halo was visible on the reporter's copy and Savannah Guthrie's copy. It means, and it shouldn't be. We have examples from our copy. Replicating it from a book, and I copied it on like five or six different copy machines in various places. And the grayscale appearance is done by dithering in the copy machines. That's how they replicate it. And it's no way that any haloing can show up. Even after scanning, it did exactly the steps of what we would have seen. Even a double scan, considering what we got from the department, from the ABC News. And basically it proved that the halo was on the original, and it is part of unsharp mask in Photoshop. That's what that proved. It means there is only one copy, both that generated the PDF, the reporter's copy, and Savannah Guthrie's. Because the Savannah Guthrie halo is also there, and you highlight it on the upper left-hand corner where the shading was the greatest. There's no question it's there.
Last time I checked, taking a picture of a document does it cause a halo.
Right. Well, copy machines work a little differently, but I know what they do. And I actually sell multifunction machines, so I kind of know how they do, and I have tech support from Canon and Xerox and Panasonic and Ricoh of how they do it. So, I mean, I consulted with them, so I know, and they all said the same thing. It's impossible. What you're looking at just can't be.
Mm-hmm.
And the copy machines don't do them. So we proved there that the story they gave us was a lie, period, an outright lie. I'll go on. Okay. Number five. Well, it's the microfilming, and we're going through the microfilming, and the microfilming copy is not how they got the copy. It again goes into the type. Then we created the PDF from our original. I got within only 3,000 bits, bytes rather, from what the administration presented to the public. Theirs, I think, was 340 or 370 something, and ours was only 3K less than theirs. And we didn't have the layers that they did. So we knew that the PDF that they put up was not generated from an original. That was the proof there. If I'm going to be able to get within 3,000 bytes of theirs, that means I did the same thing. And I shouldn't, we didn't have the layers. In fact, I don't know if we had any layers of what they did. And supposedly all they did was take the original and scan it and created a PDF and put it up. But, of course, that's not really what happened. Seven, now we get to the typewriter stuff, some of which Paul had done, and Paul will go into it when you interview him next. A typewriter is designed like this. Letting is the space between the lines.
Mm-hmm.
That's a typewriter term. Typesetter term. And it's basically either 12 points or 24 points, one line space or two line space. Forms are designed based on putting a typewriter in, used on a typewriter, you put the form in, you set the first line, and the typist does not have to adjust the platen every time. The form is designed so the lines are 24 points in between each line. Now, we knew that, and I was able to figure out the length from that dark vertical line on the left-hand side to the end of the line. It was 7 inches or 504 points. So we were able to size both horizontally and vertically the forms, what it should have looked like. So the next thing was you create a grid. Now, the typesetter type that were used on the form was called Elite, which is basically 12 characters to an inch, or each letter is 6 points. On the leading part, the leading on Obama's form is not consistent. It's as much as 2 and 3 points per line. Even on one line has the date on it. The date part is wrong, and it's like 2 points above. And the whole thing doesn't match. It's like the forger did not understand that regarding a typewriter, or she never used a typewriter.
I'm guessing it's someone fairly young that came about long
not
after.
Not really.
No?
Nope.
Interesting.
Nope, and I actually think I made the connection of how she knew Barack Obama in Hawaii.
Now, it's interesting because both you and Paul have kind of teased me in the sense that you're letting me know it's a female. Does the person that forged the document know that you know?
Let me go through the rest of it, but I'll say this. I'm not going to do anything to hurt the case for the police and the FBI. I have no intention of doing that whatsoever. So I'm just listing the things that we know that we have found. So you can read whatever you wish in it. And as I go through some of the stuff, you'll understand that the forgers did not expect two people like Paul and myself to actually go into this thing.
Now you said forgers. Before you've been saying she, and
well,
now you're saying forgers.
We believe only one person who physically did it. But there's a whole group of principals involved in this thing. It's not just one. Like I said, you know, just remember the law that I stated. It's a whole bunch of people or principals in this thing. It's not just the person who winds up creating the forgery. You know, it's just a whole bunch. Everybody involved in it, the whole chain are principals. That's what they didn't understand. People are incredibly stupid. Anyway, let me go on.
Please.
Okay, the line spacing is all off. The letter spacing is also off. Each letter has to – a letter A repeated as many times as you wish on a form has to fall in the same box. Even if the arm of the typewriter is bent, it'll always be in the same location. That's not the case with Obama's. We have examples of two-letter combinations that are – they're all over the place. Again, the forger did not understand that about a typewriter and couldn't possibly – get them all correct, and they didn't, or she didn't. Okay, word spacing. You form a grid. Again, it's not just a bunch of vertical lines, part of a grid, 6-point grid. So we have a whole bunch of birth certificates, and once you size it right, the columns on the left-hand side, the columns of type on the left-hand side match the boxes in the column on the right-hand side, not Obama's. You cannot get the type on the left-hand side to be in the boxes if you line up the type on the right-hand side of the form. You can't. It's off by about 2 points, sometimes 3 points. But I should say this. An inch is divided into 6 picas. Each pica is 12 points. So a point is basically 1/72 of an inch. I should probably have mentioned that earlier so people who don't know typesetting terms can understand we're talking about not very much space, but it's a unit of measurement we use, and it's precise. So all the word spacing is entirely off on the thing, and I think we know why. The screen that she was probably using was not wide enough to have the entire width of the document up. So when she moved from the left to the right-hand side, something moved. The image moved, and she didn't realize it. It's pretty easy to do in Photoshop to accidentally move the image and not realize it. And she never realized it. That's a major thing. I mean, just it can't be. Okay, two different typefaces found for the following letters, which is impossible. A, F, capital H, I, T, and Y. We have two different type fonts for each one of those letters. That's impossible. It means it came
from... What are the fonts, Doug? What are the types?
Well, the typewriter font, Courier, is... You know, let me explain. Each typewriter company changes the type design slightly so they don't have to pay royalties to somebody else.
Gotcha.
So the cut of the type letters is slightly different. Probably only a typesetter could spot that. And Paul did a wonderful job of spotting it, and I spotted some also. But that's you can't have two faces, two different typefaces on the same form. In fact, there is one letter, I'm not going to say which one, that bound both the forger and Obama.
Wow.
They're on the same on that person's and Obama's, and it bound them both. Okay, dancing type.
When you say it's on that person's, you mean their birth certificate, or what are you talking
yes.
about?
Okay. Yes, correct.
Keep going.
Dancing type. A typewriter will lay a lowercase letter on the baseline or below. If you don't totally release the shift key, it's partially released, it will go below. It can never go above. Mm-hmm. And the same thing is opposite for capital letters. We found the baseline on some words where they had to create the word from scratch, not common words like Honolulu or Oahu, but rather words they had to create. The typewriter type does not have the same baseline for all the letters. And that's
words
impossible.
They had to create, like what, African?
Oh, that and the street parts of the street address and mm-hmm. the names and stuff like that. In other words,
things that couldn't have been lifted in their entirety off of another document.
Very, very common names, correct. You got it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's also impossible. It's a point of forgery. It's a very good one also. Rotated letter E in the word mail, which is impossible. Now, I know why, and the forger knows why, and the police departments know why, and we'll leave it at that. The flush left on the form, three or four of the lines, when you hit the carriage return on a typewriter, always go back to the left-hand margin. On Obama's, it's off by 1 to 3 points. Again, impossible, and it's not due to the curve. It was when she laid out the type, she didn't think about that, or she thought something wrong, but it does not line up. That's a point of forgery. In other words, if it was a whole letter off, it wouldn't matter. I wouldn't care then. But 1 or 2 or 3 points, that means she literally had to lay the type down because the typewriter wouldn't do that. You see my point? You understand?
Yes, I do.
The next one is really good, number 14 on the hit parade. The father's age at the time of Obama's birth was 27, not 25. You see, we have a copy of Barack Obama Sr.'s entry papers or the postcard when you fill out on a plane when you enter the country. And also, before even 62, he put down his right age. He was born in, I think it was June 18th, 1934. And it's all his handwriting on cards, on multiple cards, like 4 or 5 of them we got, 6 of them, 1934. Now, he all of a sudden changes it when he goes to school at Harvard. You ask yourself why. Even I had to ask myself, why did he do that? Because I looked up the requirements for a foreign student, and it's I think it's 14 to 26. So he had to show he was 26 years old, and that's when he started lying. What the forger didn't understand, or the people who got her the information didn't understand or know, is that Barack Obama Sr. lied to Harvard of how old he was, so he would be considered a foreign student. So the lie caught them in their lie. You got it?
Well, couldn't one assume that if he lied to Harvard, he lied to the Department of Health as well?
Oh, we're talking about the father, not Barack Obama Jr.
No, I get that. I get that, but, I mean, he lied to the college. Why couldn't he have lied to the DOH? When did he start lying? You're saying he didn't lie until
he got to... Let me explain.
Okay, he went to Harvard after Barack Obama Jr.
Yeah, it was in 62 or 63. Yeah, it was after.
Okay.
In fact,
yeah, it was after.
On the other papers we have from the Freedom of Information Act, get this, no place does he ever admit he's the father of Barack Obama. On the form that he fills out, it says, are you married? Now, supposedly they got married in February. In March, he's filling a form like that, and he says he's not. He leaves it blank. Now, 20 days after Barack Obama Jr. is born, he's filling out the form, and it says, you married? Yes. Any children? And he puts Roy Obama. That was his son from a previous marriage. Mm-hmm. He never puts down at any time Barack Obama Jr. One place it shows up about two years later, but it's not his handwriting. Somebody wrote it in. At no point does he ever take credit for being the father of Barack Obama Jr. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, I think it's very interesting. And what I can tell you is a lot of his close friends in college never heard the name Stanley Ann Dunham, and they had no idea that he had fathered a child.
Yes, isn't it interesting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Registrar's stamp has errors in it that should not be there. There's a number of errors. I'm not going to go into it specifically. I know why they're there. The forger knows why they're there. And the police and the FBI know why they're there. That's all you have to know. But that's points of forgery, not just one. There's multiple. But I'll just call it as one.
Now,
okay,
when you say the FBI knows, that's because you filed a complaint, correct?
Correct, yeah. I have, over the year and a half, I've actually sent them stuff, and I'll say no more.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll say no more. In box 9 of his form, the word African shows up. This is only a partial point of evidence. The federal government and the state of Hawaii have manuals of terms of race. To say African, there's at least 5 races in Africa I can name off the top of my head. So the acceptable ones for this was either Negro or Black. And the Department of Health, U.S. Department of Health, even gives outlines if the father is, if one of the parents is a Negro, then you have to put Negro or Black. But African was never used. The word African American wasn't used until the 70s, as I remember. But
well, what
in
I
the
can
60s,
tell you is I have a copy of the 1960 Vital Statistics Manual put out by the federal government.
So do I.
Yeah, and at that time the term was Negro, and I was just looking at this last night. That's what's fresh in my mind. But if someone had listed Black, colored, Afro-American, brown, any of those things, yes, they might have self-reported that, but it was the government employee's job to put Negro regardless of how they self-reported themselves. And the reason I bring that up, Doug, is because so many people go, well, that's probably how he self-reported himself, and that's what the clerk just wrote down. No, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't. Actually, the clerk in Hawaii and every state had a list of races they had to use.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. If you have that list, you'll know what I mean. You know exactly what I mean. Yeah,
they
have a list.
Looked at it last night. Yeah. Now, are we at the end of the list? I lost count. I'm sorry.
That was 16. 17. Ooh. I already mentioned that he never mentions that Obama's his real his son at no time. He mentions only Roy, and that's about it. On the PDF, it's pretty simple. The 9 layers of the PDF shouldn't be there. We did our own test, and it was only like one, I think it was only like one layer, and we were within 3K of what our PDF was and the Department of Health, and we even had type in there that said for forensic examination only and as Black, anything kicked it up, and it didn't. So we were still less in size of the file than theirs is. There are different dots per inch resolutions on the different layers. Taking the story they give, that they scan the thing in, there's no way it will produce two different, distinct, DPI resolutions on that PDF. There isn't any way.
I don't care how little you know about graphics. If you can't get that, I mean...
you're dumb and dumber. But they're really stupid. Now, I will add this. I know Adobe Acrobat pretty good, and you can do some pretty strange things and command for the type and stuff like that. I mean, you can make the type a lower resolution and a different thing, but sometimes the features don't really work. But we try different things, and it just doesn't do the same thing. You can see a remnant of what the original scan was on the size of the boxes, and it's obviously these things came from different resolutions. They can't get rid of that.
Hey, Doug, real quick, the reason, for those of you who are wondering why he keeps pointing out that he got within so many K of the size of the White House PDF and he didn't get layers, one of the theories thrown out by the OBOTs is that because the document was optimized, in other words, the file size was made smaller, that these layers were created. And that's why Doug is pointing out that he was able to create one within a few K or a few hundred K of the PDF at whitehouse.gov, and he didn't get the layers. That's why he's making that point. Go ahead.
Right. The certificate number has two resolutions in it, and one's grayscale and one's binary, and it really can't be that. Adobe doesn't do something like that. One is 200 DPI, and it was 300, and one of the number ones is binary, and the rest is grayscale. It just doesn't make any sense. It just can't be. Optimization doesn't do that. No Department of Health seal on the PDF. We covered that earlier.
Uh-huh.
It was part of the green layer. The white halo is created by Unchart Mask on the PDF. There's no question about that. We replicated it. We even to the same settings that gave the same thing. And also what indicts them worse and really goes back to Alvin Onaka is they had a case in Mississippi with Orley, and the lawyer was Fuddy. And we got copies of the PDF that Alvin Onaka sent to Fuddy, and he says in the letter, which we have a copy of, that he's adding presenting a copy of the supposedly the White House PDF, but it was changed. They changed the RGB values to try to remove the white halo around all the lines in the type, and also the white dots disappeared. Now, the only way that could happen is you have to do it within Photoshop, and you have to manually change each RGB value, play with it, to try to get rid of the white halo, which they knew they had a problem. It also means that Alvin Onaka had direct contact with the forger, because that's the only one who would have the original Photoshop file to alter it, and then gave it to him, and they created another PDF, which was a lighter green. And that's what showed up in the pleadings in the court.
Hey, Doug, speaking of Alvin Onaka, do you find it interesting, I'll ask you what you've been asking me, that whenever he sent the verification to Ken Bennett in Arizona, if we can call it a verification, that he had a subordinate initial his stamp to distance himself from it as far away as possible?
It's possible. I sent a certified return receipt letter to Alvin Onaka with copies of certificate numbers as well as his register stamp, because we had multiples with errors on them, and they were on certificates that were forged in some way. And that was plausible deniability. And I never got an answer back, but it was sent off to the U.S. Attorney and also the FBI also. So they also got copies of the letter I sent him. So I never got an answer back from the guy. That didn't surprise me, but I at least gave him a chance to answer me. Never heard, though. But I think he's very nervous about it. He knows someone's after him.
I think somebody's going to make a lot of money selling antacids in Hawaii. You've got about 5 minutes. Go ahead and go down the list.
That's about it.
Okay.
The grayscale binary and the PDF, and, of course, the nine layers. The last layer is a cropped quarter inch. The quarter inch cropping, which is the layer nine, was due to when you print in Adobe Acrobat and you say it's going to a color printer, it knows the drivers for that color printer. If it can't print to the edge of the paper, it will automatically crop it. That's what happened. That's what the quarter-inch cropping.
Very good. Let me ask you sort of a general question about the entire eligibility movement.
Let's just chat. We went through the whole thing anyway, so
more than an hour.
I don't care.
Just in general, where do you see this heading? Because, you know, right now it's been kicked out of a gazillion courtrooms. There's not an honest judge out there anywhere that's going to take it. Sheriff Arpaio's gone to so many members of Congress, I can't count them anymore, and they all either say it's too hot an issue, I can't touch it, or John Boehner, House leadership, said we're not allowed to pursue this. Some of them just say, hey, I don't want the ridicule, I'm not going to get anywhere with it, it's not worth the ridicule I'll have to put up with, I'm not going to get reelected. But it seems to me that nobody will touch this. They say ultimately the truth always comes out. When do you see that happening?
You got a couple of questions there, not just one.
Pick one.
One, the problem with Orley and others trying to do civil cases on this thing is probably incorrect. This was a criminal case from day one, and it should have been done through a state attorney general, because in essence what the administration and these people did was defraud the states, because they defrauded them and said this guy's qualified to be on your ballot, and that wasn't the case. It was a lie, besides being, you know, high treason, as explained earlier. So the second part, obviously, it's going to take public education. If the congressmen, senators, and the federal judges get what the real physical proof is, that this thing is a blatant forgery done by a foreign agent with the as part of a larger conspiracy of a bunch of Marxists and communists from the 60s and 70s, Bill Ayers type, and others, to basically overthrow the United States from within. The tool was him, but he basically lied to them because he was lied to by his grandfather and grandmother that he had a birth certificate. Then they found out in 2008 he had nothing, not even a notation, zero. And they had to then do the forgery. When they did the forgery, it then became high treason, because it's the only qualification other than age to become president of the United States.
You said that public education is the key. When does your book come out?
Oh, we're about two-thirds done with it. Paul's got to get done with two chapters, and I have a few chapters less also. But there's no guarantee I'm ever going to find a publisher to take it. I mean, I'll go to WorldNet Daily, but I don't know what kind of distribution they have. And what I do with it after that, I'm certainly not going to say on a radio or tell anybody.
Okay.
But what do I say? This has never happened before in history to any country, that a foreign agent was permitted by deception to become its leader to destroy it from within. This has never happened before in history, ever. We can't find a place. You know, all the way back 3,000 years, we can't find it. This has never been done before. Needless to say, if we get an honest, either a grand jury or somebody steps up, congressional hearings, and it starts unraveling, some of these people will leave the country. Some will, you know, just disappear, commit suicide, bail out. I don't know. It's not my job or Paul's job. Ours was just we were given evidence to examine it, figure out how it was done, which we did. And it's been given to the authorities, so it's, you know, whether the media can be trusted. Even Glenn Beck thinks it's just nonsense about the birth certificate, and it's only because of lack of knowledge. And I think it's the case for most of the media. They just believe whatever the accepted media and people tell them.
They all follow the herd. It's what they do.
Yeah, I mean, it's not clicking upstairs. They're not that smart.
Well, let me say one thing. Fox went a step beyond just following the herd.
I agree.
Bill O'Reilly came out and said that the reason the Social Security number was out of Connecticut was because Obama Sr. lived there for a while. That was a complete lie. When he got called on, he scrubbed it off his website. And the one that really irritates the hell out of me is whenever Jana Winter said that a computer expert out of Canada named Jean-Claude Tremblay had said the birth certificate was legit. I'm on Twitter one night. I see a tweet go by in French, but it's Jean-Claude Tremblay. And I said, what are the odds?
I spoke to him also.
Okay. And of course, then you already know.
He denied it.
He's written it up on his website. And what tells me that this guy is telling the truth is that I watched him try to communicate with Jana Winter over Twitter. Also, I tried contacting Jana Winter both through Twitter and by leaving a message for her at Fox News, and she ignored me. I've sent her numerous tweets. When are you going to honor Jean-Claude Tremblay's request for a retraction? When are you going to honor this man's request that you tell the truth on what he said about the birth certificate? She ignores me. She ignores him.
It looks like the fix is in.
Yeah. I can tell you something else about her real quick. I talked to Mrs. Nordyke one day for a fair amount of time, and she mentioned that Jana Winter had come to her house and talked to her for about 4.5 hours, and none of that ever made it into Fox News. But for them to fly her all the way out to Hawaii and do an interview that extensive and then bury the thing, I guess they couldn't find anything in the interview that solidified the authenticity of the birth certificate, so they scratched it.
Well, I think it's also, it was technical stuff, and the newsman probably did not understand, you know, the procedures in a Department of Health when they would find, the whole thing was in the definition of filing and registration.
Well, we know that because they keep making a big deal out of the two birth announcements, and if they understood how that worked, they wouldn't even be citing those. But we've gone over on time, Doug. Listen, man, you've been a joy to have on the show. I appreciate the education. I've been following this for a long time, but I learned a lot today, and I appreciate you coming on. I've had you and Paul on separately now. Maybe one day I'll have you back on together. That's all the time we have today. I thank you for being on. Real quick, before we go, plug your website one more time.
Vector, V-E-C-T-O-R. P-U-B.com. Go to the bottom of that first page and you'll see the link to the information on the Obama stuff. I'll be updating it as we go on to more current stuff. Some of it's kind of old there, but I think I'm doing some of that deliberately until I don't want the other side to really know how much we really do know and what the kind of proof that we really have.
Very good.
So,
thanks for being on, sir.
You too. Thank you.
I want to thank everybody for listening today and remind everyone, if you have not signed our petition at congressdoyourjob.com, please do so. Let Congress know we expect them to take action on this, and we're not going to go away until they do. Once again, thank you for being with us. Look forward to having you back.
You've been listening to the Tea Party Power Hour with Mark Gillar.